All right, guys, if I were to say to you, hey, I'd like you to go all next week doing everything with a blindfold on, your job, taking care of your kids, whatever your typical week looks like. If I were to say, hey, I want you to do everything blind, you'd probably look at me and say, you're crazy. I don't want to do that. Now, why the scenario? What does that mean? Well, obviously, we understand, okay, that vision is important to us. Nobody wants to put a blindfold on and do their whole day or their whole week like that because we're going to make a lot of mistakes and things are not going to go well. Now, the question is, okay, if physical sight is important, physical vision is important, then so is spiritual vision. Okay? And that's what this sermon is about. This is about why you need a vision. And not to sound like a prosperity type guy, a prosperity preacher, but the Bible does say where there is no vision, the people perish. Okay, and so we want to understand that. We want to look at that and make sure that we have good vision in our lives. Okay, whether you're a man, hey, what's your vision for you as a provider? What's your vision for you as a protector? You as a husband, a father, a grandfather, okay, whatever it is. You say, well, I'm single. Okay, hey, what's your vision for your life then? Okay, what's your vision for your job? You want to just kind of stay where you're at? Maybe you do, and maybe that's okay, but you know, I think we should have a clear vision to get better. Same thing for ladies. Hey, ladies, what's your vision for yourself? What's your vision for your walk? What's your vision for being a wife, a mother, a grandmother, a friend, an edifier at church? Here's the thing. If our vision's not clear, then we're literally walking through life with a blindfold on, and that doesn't benefit us. That doesn't help us at all. So the goal for this sermon is to teach you what the Bible says about vision, the value of it, and obstacles that can get in the way of that vision. Okay? And just remember this, a vision with clarity offers prosperity. Here is Brother Skulk with a reading of Habakkuk chapter number 2. Enjoy and God bless.
Habakkuk chapter 2, starting in verse 1. I'll stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower, and will watch to see what he will say unto me, and what I shall answer when I am reproved. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon the tables, that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come, it will not tarry. Behold, his soul which lifteth up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. Yea, also, because he transgresseth by wine, he is a proud man, neither keepeth at home, who enlargeth his desire as hell, and is as death, and cannot be satisfied, but gathereth unto him all nations, and heapeth unto him all people. Shall not all these take up a parable against him, and a taunting proverb against him, and say, woe to him that increaseth that which is not his? How long? And to him that ladeth himself with that thick clay? Shall they not rise up suddenly that shall bite thee, and awake that shall vex thee, and thou shalt be for booties unto them? Because thou hast spoiled many nations, all the remnant of the people shall spoil thee, because of men's blood, and for the violence of the land, of the city, and of all that dwell therein. Woe to him that coveteth an evil covetousness to his house, that he may set his nest on high, that he may be delivered from the power of evil. Thou hast consulted shame to thy house by cutting off many people, and hast sinned against thy soul. For the stone shall cry out to the wall, and the beam out of the timber shall answer it. Woe to him that buildeth a town with blood, and establish a city by iniquity. Behold, is it not of the Lord of hosts that the people shall labor in a very fire, and the people shall weary themselves for very vanity? For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, as the water cover the sea. Woe unto him that giveth his neighbor drink, that putteth thy bottle to him, and maketh him drunken also, that thou mayest look on their nakedness. Thou art filled with shame for glory. Drink thou also, and let thy foreskin be uncovered. The cup of the Lord's right hand shall be turned unto thee, and shameful spewing shall be on thy glory. For the violence of Lebanon shall cover thee, and the spoil of the beasts, which made them afraid because of men's blood, and for the violence of the land and of the city, and of all that dwell therein. What profiteth the graven image that the maker thereof hath graven it, the molten image, and a teacher of lies, the maker of his work, trusteth therein, to make dumb idols? Woe unto him that saith to the wood, Awake! To the dumb stone, Arise, it shall teach. Behold, it is laid over with gold and silver, and there is no breath at all in the midst of it. But the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him. Brother Evan, you want to pray for us?
All right. Amen. Habakkuk chapter number 2. So what I'm going to title this morning is Why You Need a Vision. Okay, we're going to talk about vision. And you might be thinking, like, what is this, some kind of new evangelical deal? It's actually not. Okay, vision, prosperity, things like that, they get a bad rap amongst our people because both of these subjects are highly abused in Christianity today, okay? But I'm going to show you this morning why each and every single one of you needs a vision in your life. And honestly, you're going to see you need multiple visions. Now, what is a vision? Okay, well, obviously, it's the ability to see. Everybody in here knows that. It's the act or the power to see in the physical, but also, and we've talked about this before, it's the ability to see in the spiritual. Now, we're going to take it a couple steps farther and talk about how the ability to see in the future. Okay, so the ability for you to imagine through wisdom the outcome of a situation. Now, obviously, there's visions from the Lord that the prophets got. We're not going to talk about that this morning. We're going to talk about vision as in the sense of like a movie trailer. Okay? Now, have you ever seen like a documentary trailer? What's the purpose of that? Well, it's to get you hyped up. It's to sell you on the fact that what you're about to watch is very good. Okay, and you're going to see this morning, that is the basic purpose of a vision. Okay, it's something that you're going to come up with, you're going to develop according to wisdom that helps drive you towards obtaining or towards provision. Okay. Now, I was talking about this with Caden the other day, and one thing that I've noticed since leaving government work, since leaving the military, is that a lot of private companies are terrible at this. They don't have a vision. And so what happens is they try to substitute vision for just, I don't know, let's say financial gain. They'll say, well, as long as you keep working here, you're going to make a lot of money and blah, 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 and you're going to be rich and everything will be well, you know, and they just try to make them feel comfortable where they're at. And I think when you have lived long enough or you just study the Bible long enough, you start to wake up, you realize that ongoing comfort, you know what that provides you? That provides you with stagnation, okay? And you're going to see why that's a problem this evening as well. And the reason why I bring this up is because I've been working in my industry now for about 6 years, and I've just noticed a lack of motivation, a lack of drive, a lack of interest in actually learning the craft, okay? And it's not just my trade, it's all kinds of trades. I think it's just the times that we're in. People would rather take a shortcut, rather just be spoon-fed their jobs, spoon-fed this and that, and it just leads to problems. I mean, think about it. Why is In-N-Out Burger so successful? You know why? You know why they're able to retain people versus McDonald's or Wendy's and places like that? It's because they sell people a vision, and it's an honest vision. You know, Chick-fil-A does the same thing. Winco, I mean, these companies, they tell you, like, if you stay here long enough, here's the pay scale. Here's what you could be making in just 2 years, 3 years. Here's where you could be. And they constantly remind their people of that, okay? And so what's the result? Well, instead of perishing, like the verse says in the bulletin we're going to go over, people prosper. The opposite of perishing is to prosper, okay? And so that's what I'm talking about this morning. Now, let's talk about you, okay? Do you, as an individual, do you have a vision for your Christian walk? Do you understand why it is important to read the Bible, or do you just kind of view it like, well, the Bible says I should read the Bible, or I have to read the Bible, so I'll just read it because I'm obligated to, okay? Or do you actually see the benefits, okay? Do you see the benefits that it's going to bring you, that it's going to produce in your life? What about soul winning? What's your vision for that? Okay, where do you see yourself 2, 3, 4 years from now? Do you see yourself leading a soul winning time, training other people? Okay, do you envision one day walking into an apartment complex and just really having a great thought out battle and helping somebody recover themselves out of the snare of the devil? Do you think about these things? Okay, and that's very, very important because all of these lead to not only your maturation in the Christian life, but also to edifying other people. What about your health? You know, we can't do much if we don't have good health. And the Bible does have a good amount to say about health. And I would say it starts with temperance, self-control. You say, well, how does that work? You know, self-control goes a long ways. Okay, there's a lot of Bible verses talking about temperance. It's very, very important for us. Physical health, spiritual health, all of these things. Okay, gratitude. You know, it's kind of funny that even science now is talking about how gratitude is healthy for the heart and healthy for the brain and blood flow and things like that. I read an interesting story about one of the Rockefellers back in the day, and he was like practically on his deathbed in the 50s. And I guess what he decided to do, because he thought he was about to die, is he decided to actually do something different in his life because he was absolutely miserable. The doctors couldn't figure it out. He's got all the money in the world. And he decided, you know, I'm just going to start giving stuff to people. Okay, and his health literally turned around like within a 7-day period. Then he went and joined a Baptist church and just continued to give. And I'm not saying that this guy is like saved or, you know, anything like that, but it does prove the fact that gratitude is very good for our health, you know, not just our individual health, but for those that are around us. All of us want to be liked. All of us want to have friends and make a difference. So what's your vision for that? Okay, what's your vision for that? You know, letting go of bitterness, whatever it is. Now, let's talk about the men. What's your vision for yourself? Okay, what's your vision at your job? What's your vision for being a provider, being a protector? Do you have hands? Do you, just kidding. If you can't box, you can't lead your family. I'm just teasing though. Okay, but honestly though, what's your vision? You know, you're in your job. Where do you see yourself in your job 2, 3, 4, 5 years from now? Is it realistic? Okay, and you say, well, I'm just kind of floating along. I'm going to show you this morning why that is not a good idea. Okay, you've got to have a vision. This is, you know, a lot of people, and myself included, knock the government, knock the military. But one thing that they are superb at is giving you vision and saying, hey, if you follow these steps, this is where you're going to be. Okay, and it always panned out. And so I'd like to bring that to you guys and show you the benefits of that. You know, men, what about husbands? What's your vision for your husbandry? How are you doing with the garden of your family? Okay, your spouse or whatever. You say, well, I'm not a father. That's fine. Okay, what's your goal? Where do you see yourself in the near future? Do you have a vision for that? Or are you just coasting through life thinking, oh, it'll just all work out? No, you need to have a vision. The same thing for grandfathers. What about the women? Okay, what's your vision for guiding? What's your vision for teaching and helping other women in the church? You know, you're a guider, but you're also a protector. You're a protector of the hearts of your children and those around you. Okay. Same with being a wife, being a mom. All this stuff is applicable to all of us. Okay. Say, well, I'm a kid. I'm a teen. Great. What's your vision? You know, we've tried to give our kids a vision of starting businesses, okay, instead of just pushing them off into the workforce, which is not bad. I think that's a good thing as well. You know, we told them from a long time, you know, coming up, hey, you know, you don't have to necessarily just go and get yourself a fast food job at 16. Take some time, decide what you want to do, okay, and we'll support you as long as it takes. Do that dirty work. Do all that research. Make all the mistakes. Take all the risk now before you have a family and responsibilities. That way, you can be successful whether you decide to stick with it or not. You see what I'm saying? Have a vision. Instill vision in other people, and they will follow you. You will follow yourself when you have vision. All of this stuff is very, very important. Now, you're in Habakkuk chapter number 2, and I'm basically going to say this a couple of times this morning, and that is, you know, running with a vision, okay? Running with vision is the path to provision. That's the goal, okay? It's to make sure that we have provision in every area of our lives, our physical lives in the immediate, because we need to be healthy. We need to be aware of our surroundings in order to be effective for God, in order to make sure that we're growing spiritually. Does that make sense? So running with vision is the path to provision. You're going to see that here in Habakkuk chapter 2 and several places throughout the Bible. Now let's talk about Habakkuk. Okay, who is this guy? And a lot of people will say, oh, Habakkuk, his name means this. And they'll say like some long Hebrew phrase. It doesn't really matter, okay? Habakkuk was a prophet during, or at least, the only thing we really know about him is that he was a prophet after the Assyrians came and demolished the northern kingdom of Israel. And he was a prophet, obviously, before Nebuchadnezzar came and removed all of the Jews out of the land. Now, the book of Habakkuk is really twofold. Okay, so chapter one basically breaks down into two questions that the prophet has. And number one, he's like, hey, Lord, you know I'm faithful. You know I serve you, but if you don't mind me asking, and I'm paraphrasing here, why do you let the wicked Jews go unpunished? Like, I don't understand it. And then furthermore, why are you bringing in a people group, the Chaldeans, which are way more wicked? And then at the end of chapter one, he's like, I'm going to wait to be reproved. Okay. And so chapter two basically begins the faith phase of this book. And what you're going to find here that is central, that is in the center of all of this, the answer to Habakkuk's questions is vision. Okay. So we're going to start off here in verse number two. Look what God says to Habakkuk. So verse 2 says, and the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth it. That he may run that readeth it. Okay? So interesting here, God doesn't just lash out at him, okay? Habakkuk is troubled here. He's faithful, he believes in God, he's a prophet, he's getting a real vision, okay? Not like necessarily the visions that I'm talking about, but he's got a vision from God. He's got questions, he's questioning why God's doing the things he is, and God responds to him in a very calm and concise manner, a very clear manner. Why? So that he can be a successful prophet. That's what you're going to see here. But look at what God says to him about this vision. Okay, and this really applies to anything in your life. Okay, look at what he says. Write the vision. Now notice this next phrase here. And make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth it. So make it plain, make it clear. Obviously, make it legible so whoever is running can actually see it. You know, don't hire somebody like me to do it because my writing is terrible. Yeah, I wouldn't be able to do that. I'd have to type it out. But obviously, he's shown him a vision and wants him to write this clear so that people can understand it. See where I'm going with this? Clarity. That's the goal. That is the objective, okay? So why does God reinforce this? And here's the point. When a vision has clarity, it offers prosperity. Okay, when a vision has clarity, it offers prosperity. So here's the thing. Look at verse 3. God says this, for the vision is yet for an appointed time. So it's not right now. You're getting the vision now, okay? But it's for a time later, a time that I have appointed. So there's going to be patience required, temperance. There's going to be faith involved. All of these components are going to be involved in making the vision a success, in delivering this vision to other people. So he says, the vision is yet for an appointed time. But at the end, it shall speak and not lie, though it tarry. Wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. And that's the thing about visions that we all need to understand. We all need to be clear that you need to develop a vision. Yes, it needs to be realistic. Yes, but you have to understand it is going to take time. It is going to take your endurance, your consistency to make it happen. Okay? That is one of the things that God is telling him here. Verse 4, behold, his soul, which is lifted up, which he's talking about the Chaldeans here, his soul, which is lifted up, is not upright in him. But now here it is, okay, New Testament verse. This is a very popular verse and basically the key verse of the entire book. Look at what it says. The just shall live by his faith. Interesting. What is faith? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You say, wait a minute here. I thought we were talking about a vision. That's exactly my point. You have to understand what a vision is. It's not just, I imagine this scenario in my mind, okay? And I can see me driving down the street and shaking this person's hand and making this deal and getting this. That's part of it, okay? That is absolutely part of it. But really, it's the goal, okay? You might be able to think of the goal. You might be able to envision the goal, and that's great. Okay, but you cannot physically see it. It's not a guarantee. Therefore, your vision has to be clear. It has to make sense. It has to be realistic. And first and foremost, it has to be driven by the vehicle of faith. The just shall live by his faith. Faith is the evidence of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So go to 3 John, all the way over in the New Testament. You can leave your place here in Habakkuk, but go to 3 John chapter number 1. 3 John chapter number 1, And I want to show you this. So again, the point here, the very first thing that I want to talk about this morning is when a vision has clarity, it offers prosperity. Now, what's the flip side of that? Well, you're going to get that here in a little bit. Yeah, I already kind of mentioned it. But when a vision is clear, it offers prosperity. It offers mobility. Okay. The whole point in God telling Habakkuk, hey, make it plain so that in the future, when the person that needs to run can actually run, he can actually say, ah, this is very clear. I get it. The point in time is now. We need to take these steps and they go for it. They run, they do it, they accomplish, they gain provision, and all is well. You say, well, isn't prosperity like a bad thing? Let me just show you this here. 3 John chapter 1, look at verse number 2. So the Bible says, beloved, and this is obviously the Apostle John speaking here. He says, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper. You see that word there, prosper, and be in health. Okay, he's talking about physical health here. Now look what he talks about next. Even as thy soul prospereth. Okay, so what was John's desire for the believer? What was his desire? What was his vision for us? That we would not only be in good health, but that our everyday battle, the battleground that we're in every single day is a battle, every single day is warfare. And he's saying, I wish that you would be prosperous in health, even as thy soul prospers. So this simultaneous raising up or prosperity is what he's talking about here. And that's the goal. You obtain that through vision. Okay, you obtain that through clear vision. You ever notice how the Bible just crystal clear, just comes right out and says, hey, this, if you do this, this is what's going to happen. Okay, this is right, this is wrong. Now, obviously, there's some gray areas in life, and we could talk about that another day. But as far as the mission of the believer to go get people saved, to take care of the body of Christ, it's crystal clear what we should do and how we should behave. Now, is it always easy? No, it's definitely not always easy. But the answer, the vision, is very clear. Okay. Now, leave your place there. Go to Psalm, back to the Old Testament, Psalm chapter number 37. Psalm chapter number 37. So again, the just shall walk by faith. And a clear vision leads to a no fear mission. That is also part of this. Okay. When you have faith, when you have clarity, fear goes out the window because you can see clearly, you can see properly, and you know where you're going. Okay. When you have clarity, you know what to accept and you know what to reject. You know when to say yes, you know when to say no. You know which standards you ought to go by, which standards you ought to reject. Okay. Now, let me just bring this up because we got to talk about this, okay? A lack of clarity. We know we need clarity, but what does a lack of clarity actually do for us, do in our lives, okay? Well, what you're going to find is it affects your decision-making, it affects your overall life, and it slows us down. Look at this here, Psalm chapter 37 in verse number 23. The Bible says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. He delighteth in his way. Okay, and I'm going to say this. Life doesn't move at the speed of sound. Life moves at the speed of the battleground. Okay? And what I mean by that is what I just said a few minutes ago. Life is a battle. Okay, we are constantly, every single day, in spiritual warfare. You are battling the old man. You are battling enemies. You are battling all sorts of things. Okay, every single day, from the moment your eyelids open, and even probably before that, you're probably having some kind of a dream of a struggle or something like this, okay? The point is, life moves at the speed of battleground. And so with that being said here, okay, what is the enemy going to try to do? Well, the enemy is going to try to slow you down. And how does he do that? He does that through confusion, the opposite of clarity. Remember, everything in life, okay, is in regards to warfare, all you got to do is take a look at what God says and imagine the opposite, and there you'll find the devil. There you're going to find the enemy every single time. Now back to this verse here, okay, the steps of a good man, okay, the process, the way of life of a good man. Now is anybody here good on their own? No. So what is the good man? Who is the good man rather? Well, that's the saved man. That's the righteous man. That's the born again man. That's the Christian, if you will. Okay. Now, what this isn't saying is, well, God takes your physical body and he's going to make sure he moves you over here and moves you over there and actually just does everything for you. That's not what it's saying. OK, Okay? But the process and the speed at which you move in life is ordered by the Lord, meaning He works with your heart and mind in situations to get you to where you need to go to have provision so that you can obtain. Okay? But we know the enemy wants to restrain that. He wants to stop that. In fact, let me show you that here real quickly. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 9. You can leave your place there in the Psalms, but go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 9. So the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and He delighteth in His way. And that's what all of us in here want. We want the Lord to order our steps. What step should I take next? What step do I need to go through next? That depends on your vision, okay? And that depends on the clarity of the vision that you have for your life, the particular area in your life that you're focusing on. So 1 Corinthians chapter number 9, look at verse 25. Look at verse 24. Look at verse 24. So Paul says this. He says, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain." Notice he says, "So run that ye may obtain." Okay? What is he referring to here? He's talking about the battleground. He's talking about every single day life. We do not have time to waste. Go to Ephesians chapter number 5. So he's saying life is like a race. What does a race require? It requires a clear path. It requires a clear goal. Why are you doing this? What's the point? What do you see at the end here? And is it clear? Is it realistic? Okay. So he's saying run that ye may obtain. Well, we know that the Psalms say that our steps are ordered by the Lord, and we delight in His way. Now, of course, obviously, if we're saved, but what's the importance of running? What's the importance of not wasting time? Well, I'm going to submit to you that it's because time is a gift from God, and it's precious, and nobody in here knows how much of it we have left. Ephesians chapter 5, look at verse 16. So the Bible says this, redeeming the time. Why? Because the days are evil. Look, each day has enough trouble of its own. Each day, there is something that is arising to stop you, to slow you down, so that we cannot proceed with the vision, so that we cannot obtain, so that we cannot win, so that we lose. And we don't want that. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 14. 1 Corinthians chapter number 14. So again, understanding this, okay, understanding clarity, we know, don't even really need to bring it up, but we know that the enemy would love nothing more than to slow us down. How does he do it and what does it look like? Okay, 1 Corinthians 14, look at verse number 33. So Paul says, "For God," okay, now of course this is all talking about speaking in tongues here, but he says, "For God is not the author of what? Confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints." So God is not authoring this confusion that's out there today. Okay? And there's a lot of it. You say, "I'm kind of confused. I'm not sure because I know so-and-so in my family goes to this church, or my neighbor goes to this church, and they've got 5,000 people, or they got 300 people. They got all these people here, and everything seems to be going well for them. Doesn't that mean that God's blessing them?" No. Remember, the devil can provide blessings as well. Because when you go to those places, what do you find? You find confusion. Yeah, you might find a clear spot to park in. You might find a clear sign that says 50 cents a cup of water. You know, you might find that type of stuff. That's crystal clear. What they want is clear, especially to people like us. You know what's not clear, though, is what they're saying. Yeah, they speak English. Yeah, they speak English, okay? But what do? They cast doubt. They sow confusion. Well, this says this in English, but, you know, it's really implying something different if you got the magic secret sauce original manuscript like I have, okay? That's confusing. That's Catholic. We talk about this all the time, okay? Why do you think that's a thing? No, because the enemy would love nothing more and loves nothing more than to stop us, to halt the vision, okay? Close that vision up. You slow the vision down, you muddy it up, you confuse it, and what happens? Chaos. He starts to win, we start to lose ground and lose the fight. And this applies to everything in your life, everything. From the moment you wake up to the moment that you go to bed, okay? Remember, we are not supposed to waste God's precious time. We need to redeem the time. We're already behind. That's why that verse is written like that, because we're already behind. We don't have time to waste. Now, go to James chapter number 3. James chapter number 3. And here's another little bit, a little tidbit about confusion in verse 16. So right after Hebrews, go to James chapter number 3. It says this. Look down at verse number 16. James says, "For where envying and strife is," now look at this, "there is confusion and every evil work." I think it's interesting here that God chose James to write that because James was the pastor at the church in Jerusalem. So he knew a thing or two about beefs. He knew a thing or two about people fighting and envying one another. And, you know, I need to do another full study on envy because envy is really a thing even I see amongst our own people and we don't even realize it. Okay, it's a big problem that all of us have. Maybe not all of us individually, but our types of people. Okay, envy is a thing. It's a dangerous thing. And what you're going to find when you look beyond the envy at the source, you try to find we're not just interested in curing the symptom, but the actual cause. What you're going to find is there's some sort of confusion. Okay, some sort of confusion. And then, of course, we know that the enemy has been there. But what James is saying here is, hey, if we got a group of people and there's just a bunch of envy, and oh, why does she get that? Why does he have that? Why did she take my seat? Why did he take my seat? I always sit there. You know, you start having these kinds of beefs, guess what happens? You start forming cliques, you start having all these problems, and the next thing you know, the gospel's not getting out as much as it used to, so on and so forth. Go to Mark chapter number 8. And so the goal here is obviously clarity. You say, what's the most important word of the morning? And I'm going to tell you it is clarity, even more so than vision. No point in having a vision if it is not clear. Again, why are there so many Bible versions in the English-speaking world? It's because we have been and are doing the most work in the world. So the devil knows, okay, that's where I hit first. Okay, and then once I got them all confused, I'll send the Pentecostals to Africa, I'll send these people over here. That's just how it works. That's how he operates. You know, it's the yea hath God said society that comes out and says, well, did God really say you can't do this, you should do this, this is what? Well, what he really meant, it's the same old trick. Okay, it's to take what God said is clear and to muddy it up. Okay, now let's look at something here. Mark chapter number 8. So we're going to get off that confusion stuff here and go back to clarity. Look at verse 22. This is a story of a healing of a blind man in Bethsaida. Mark chapter 8, look at verse 22. The Bible says, and he, talking about Jesus, and he come to Bethsaida, and they bring a blind man unto him and besought him to touch him. Verse 23. And he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. And when he had spit in his eyes or on his eyes and put his hands upon him, he asked him if he saw aught. Okay, so this is the initial restoration here, the initial healing here. And Jesus is asking this blind man who's never seen before, hey, how's everything working out? Right? He's getting him to 20/20 vision here or better. Verse 24. And he looked up. This blind man said, and he looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. I had someone tell me one time, this is proof that Jesus was not God because he didn't perfectly heal him the first time. Okay, that is absolutely ridiculous. There is a lesson to be learned here. This is written down for a specific reason, and actually several, which I don't have time to get into. But, okay, first things first. You know, because people will say this, well, how did he know what a tree was if he couldn't see? See, the Bible got contradictions. Well, the guy's blind, and how about this? How many of you think he probably walked in to more than one in his life, okay? I'll bet he knows what a tree is. I'll bet he, from the time he was a child, you know, feeling around, oh, okay, yeah, it's not that hard to put together. Yeah, these guys need to get smarter if they're going to start to attack the Bible, but of course they're idiots. So he says, I see men as trees. So he's seeing people for the first time. And he's like, they all look like Caden and Josh. Like, what the heck's going on here? They're all like tall. What's going on here? Verse 25. Now that look at this. After that, he put his hands again upon his eyes and made him look up. And he was restored and saw every man clearly. Okay. He saw every man clearly. What happens next? You should already know. Okay, look at verse 26. And he sent him away, So Jesus sent this guy who used to be blind away to his house, saying, neither go into the town nor tell it to any in the town. So what's the solution here? Clarity, then proper mobility. That's the lesson here. Clarity, then proper mobility. So Jesus finally, okay, says, okay, now look up, completely restored, completely healed. And then he gives him his orders. Hey, now go to your house. Okay. This would be interesting because he's having to leave here. And now he's looking at people in the face like, hey, do you know where this is? Because everything's different now. Like, yeah, it's over there. Wait, you can see. You don't need anybody to lead you by the hand. No, he's good to go. Okay. But the point is here, after he can see clearly, that's when Jesus sends him. Okay. And I have to bring this up because many of us are in our lives and we feel stuck. We've got decisions that need to be made. We've got goals that we want, but we're not getting there. We feel like we're stuck. We're just not obtaining. We're not running, okay? And that is because there is a disconnect in the clarity between you and that goal. And you need to figure that out and get that restored. And the moment you do that, that's when God says, okay, now I can give this to you because you can clearly see. You can clearly understand what is going on here. Now go to Proverbs chapter number 29. So clarity, then proper mobility. And that is what every single one of us is after in our lives. Okay, clarity and then proper mobility. Now, vision in the Bible, okay, having a vision in your life is so important that this verse in Proverbs is written for us. This warning here, okay, and this warning about vision, okay, I'm going to put this on a spectrum here. You got on this side, you got death, you got destruction, perishing, and over here you got loss. Okay? Vision and having a vision for your life is so important that God just goes right over here to the extreme. Look at this here. Proverbs 29, look at verse number 18. Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. You know what that says about the law? That the law is crystal clear. Leviticus chapter 20, verse 13 is crystal clear. See, yeah, but we're under American law, and American law has grace, and American law is great. Yeah, it is great if people follow it. Some of it is, okay? But that law has so much clarity that we can even apply it in our lives today, even though it's not written on the law books anymore. Okay, that's one of the things you're going to learn here, okay? Where there is no vision. Look, this is so important that the Bible is telling you, where there is no vision, the people perish. You say, well, I'm not going to die if I don't learn my job better. I'm not going to die if I don't have any goals. No, but remember, there's a spectrum with destruction. Over here on the extreme end, you've got death. You've got perishing, okay? And then over here, you've got loss. And in between, you've got everything else, okay? Minor losses and so on and so forth, okay? But here's the thing. Why do so many small businesses, why do companies eventually go out of business? You know why? It's because they got stagnant. They got stale. Okay, they just kind of started to go with the flow. Why do you think so many churches, even good Bible-believing, King James preaching, Baptist churches, you know, why do you think the old IFB is old? Because they failed to understand proper vision and several other things for that matter. But the point is, the same thing could happen to all of us if we lose sight of the vision that God has given us, which is to go get people saved and to take care of one another. And there's so much that goes into both of those, okay? So what I want to say next is this, and it's very obvious, very simple, is that a person without a vision is headed towards collision. There's no other way to put it. This is a fact. This is a guarantee. I don't care what you say, how you feel. If you don't have a vision, for whatever stage in life that you know you need it, okay, you will suffer collision. It is a fact. It is a guarantee. Whether that be your Bible reading, your soul winning, your Christian walk, you as a man, you as a husband, you as a father, you as a woman, you as a wife, whatever it is, as a teen, if you don't develop vision, if you cannot clearly see where you're going, you will suffer collision. It is a fact. And that's why I'm preaching this, is to warn you. A person without a vision is headed towards a collision. Go to 1 Samuel chapter number 3 real quick. 1 Samuel chapter number 3. I thought it was funny. You know, I was reading a little bit of this commentary in here, and they're like, well, okay, in Proverbs 29 verse 18, it just means when there's no written or spoken prophet around that people perish. That's all that means. And they reference this verse here. So I wanted to bring this up just to kind of make sure you guys are aware of it, because it's absolutely silly. But anyways,
1 Samuel chapter 3, beginning of 1 Samuel, if you're not familiar, we're still technically in the period of the judges. The judge and prophet basically here is Eli. If you know anything about Eli, he had two reprobate sons. And God said, you know, we got to get rid. Eli's just about done. He's old. His sons don't follow him. So I'm going to raise up someone else, and that is Samuel. And Samuel is a child here. And look at verse number 1. So Samuel, obviously, he lives with Eli at the temple. Long story there. But look at what verse 1 says. It says, and the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. Now go to Exodus chapter 3. We're getting close to being done here. We're going to wrap this up. Last passage here is going to be Exodus chapter 3. Okay? There was no open vision. Now here's what you don't find when you read through the end of Judges and through the time period of Eli. You're not finding masses of Israelis, okay? You're not finding masses of the Hebrews just dying because there was no open vision, okay? What you're finding is that people are upset with Eli and his sons because they're reprobate. They're making people hate the offering. They're making people hate doing the things of the Lord because they make it miserable, okay? That's it. So there is this idea out there. Well, Proverbs chapter 29 verse 18 is just talking about if there's no prophet in your church, or, you know, if there's no word of God, then people perish. Well, okay, I mean, technically, yeah, let's just say in this area here, okay, we just stop going sowing altogether. We're not, yeah, people are going to perish. I mean, it's just that's a reality. That's a fact. But what I find funny about these new evangelicals that say that, it's like, you cast doubt on the word of God every second that you're open. I mean, from the moment your open sign turns on, it's doubt, doubt, doubt until the minute you close. And even then, just your existence, just the presence of your building is casting doubt. Just your website, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, your YouTube channels, doubt, doubt, doubt. That's all it does. So why do you want to lecture us, to school us, about talking about having a real vision for every member in a church? Oh, I know why. Because you're threatened by it. You're threatened by us knocking on people's doors. You're threatened by us correcting your teachings every single day of the week when we talk to your church members. That's what's really going on. I got it. Okay. So just wanted to kind of throw that out there. I mean, heck, what happened to the nation of Israel? Starting with Solomon. What happened? He lost sight of the vision. He said, well, I got these wives. I got these concubines. I can handle it. How'd that work out? Okay. They turned his heart away from God. And therefore, confused, muddied the vision. He started focusing on other things. Boom. Next thing you know, the kingdom is divided after his reign. And it was all downhill from there until the time of Christ. And he finally says, you know what? The veil is going to be torn. You're through. You're absolutely done. And that's the result of no vision. Okay, where there's no vision, the people perish. If you don't have a vision for everything you're doing in your life, your job, okay, and everybody in here has a job. I don't care what you say. Well, I'm not married. I'm a teenager. I don't care. Your job is to manage yourself. Your job is to lead yourself. Your job is to get better. Okay. And if you don't have a vision for that, you are headed on a collision course with a wall. You're going to have problems. Okay. Look at this here. Exodus chapter number 3 and verse number 8. So the Bible says, this is obviously the situation here with God speaking to Moses. And he says, and I am come down to deliver them, okay, the Hebrews, the children of Israel from Egypt. He says, and I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land and a large unto a land flowing with milk and honey. Unto the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. And so the reason why we're reading this here, there's several reasons. If you think about this story, okay, of the nation of Israel being brought out of Egypt, okay, right off the bat, before they're even brought out of Egypt, what does God do to Moses? He gives him a clear vision. Why? So that Moses and Aaron can run. So that they can do what they're told. Remember, clarity produces proper mobility, okay? And so we understand that a person without a vision is headed towards collision. That's where the nation of Israel is at this time. They're just, right now, they're just comfortable. You want to talk about learned helplessness? That's the state that Israel is in at this moment. They're just helpless. They're being extorted every day. They don't know anything different. In fact, this is so entrenched in their lives that even when they're brought out and they start facing trials and tribulations, okay, what do? I want to go back to Egypt because of the leeks and the garlic and the onions. And it's like, wow, you know, the spices must have been really good for you to overlook the obvious, you know? Guess what? That's the same state that this country's in right now. It's like, look, I don't like any of these politicians. Okay, none of us in here probably do. I get that. Okay, but even though they're both controlled by the same ruling class, we all understand that. Okay, you still have a lot of people out there in society, even in this town, that look at Kamala Harris, or whatever you want to call her, okay, Communist Kamala, okay, and say, wow, she's going to be the first woman president. This is great. And it's like, I don't care what you say about Trump. Things were better under his reign, okay? So it's like, if I have to choose, do I want to get hit with a right hook or a jab? I'm going to pick the jab all day, okay? And Trump, to me, is the jab. Now you say, it is what it is, okay? His policies, though he speaks harshly, are clear. And I'm not endorsing him. I'm just saying that's a reality. That's a fact, okay? But what about her? There's all these videos online of people walking around saying, what do you like about her? And people are like, I don't want to answer any more questions. Or they're like, she's female. She has good recipes on TikTok with garlic, leeks, and onions. And yeah, and she's very pleasant. Okay, it's like, what? Well, so this is where we're at today, where people don't mind paying these high prices for gas and groceries. And she even talks about it. You know, ground beef's doubled. You know, it's gone up 50%. And people are like, yeah, but you should see Trump's tweets. Boy, they sure are mean. You know what I mean? It's like, it's human nature is what I'm trying to say. It's human nature to want to be comfortable. And you can oppress any people group by sowing comfortable confusion. That's all you have to do is provide comfortable confusion. And you know what? God's telling Moses here, hey, I'm going to take you guys to the promised land. However, here's the vision, but you better guess something. You better understand something right now. There are going to be enemies along the way. Okay? There are going to be battles along the way. And so let me just leave you with this. Part of vision engagement, okay, is not only clarity, it's not only getting rid of confusion, okay, but part of vision engagement is understanding enemy management. It's really what it is. That's the vision that I had for this church, that every pastor in our movement has for their church, is enemy management. And you know what? Enemies are not just always people. They're people and they are problems. They're individuals and they are issues, okay? And you better understand whatever vision you have for yourself. You say, I'm going to leave this sermon and I realize, you know what? I'm going to develop a better vision for me as a husband, as a father, as a grandfather, as a mom, as a woman, whatever it is, as a wife. Okay, you better understand something. You will face opposition. You will have enemies pop up. They will either be individuals or they will be issues, and you better be ready to fight. Okay, because like I told you, life is a battleground and the enemy is trying to slow you down every step of the way, every single day. So when you're making your vision for whatever it is that you need clarity and you need to be aware of the fact that somebody or something is going to try to stop you. The question is, have you built into your vision what you see here? Okay, which is what? The victory. Look at the verse again, verse 8. I am come down. This is God Almighty here. I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians. That is the provision. Okay, that is the obtaining factor right there. God is telling him, here am I, Moses, and I am here for this purpose. I am here to deliver. You know that the Bible has something to deliver you in every situation in your life, whatever problem you have. Okay, you say, I can't find it in the Bible. You come talk to me and I'll point it out to you. Okay, every problem that you have, the Bible has the solution. You have to see it though. That's the thing. You need to look at it. You need to be shown it sometimes. You have to see it. Okay, so he says, I'm come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of the land unto a good land and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey. So there's the promise. Okay, good. You got to have that vision, right? The promised land. Okay, God is here. When he speaks, when he says, it happens. But, okay, can you also see the other side of that? Okay, unto the place of the Canaanites. Okay? A lot of the children of Israel, they heard this. They'll say, okay, well, right now, the Canaanites and the Hivites and the Jebusites and the Perizzites, they're all still there. So maybe God's going to be removing them while we walk there, while we get over there. Okay? And God's like, that's not what I meant. Okay? That land is yours. Now you need to go get it. And God had to remove an entire generation from the children of Israel in order to do that. Why? Because that old generation that came out of Egypt, they were so entrenched with confusion that they just could not obtain. Okay? They were headed on a collision course, and God knew, if I don't get rid of these people, I'm not going to be able to use them to go into the promised land. So I'm going to raise up their children. They will tackle it. They will go on and do it. So again, a big part of your vision is understanding, okay, vision management, okay? Part of vision engagement is understanding enemy management that you are going to have to fight, you are going to have to battle. It's just part of life. It's just part of life what we do. But again, if you're running this race, that's your goal, okay? Your goal is to get out of the snares, to get out of that confusion, okay? And you now know it's by clarity. Okay, it's by seeking clarity, then guess what? You're not going to have as much problem because you're going to expect it. And it's much easier to fight a battle when you expect the enemy to be at a certain location at a certain time or to have certain patterns or what have you. Okay, when you can see that and you can realize that, it's like, okay, this is just natural. Okay, I got the end game in sight. I can see it, but I know that there's going to be resistance that I have to overcome. And by the way, you know, each battle that you go through, you get stronger. You learn, okay? You grow. You get better. That's the point of doing this. So hopefully this helps. We're going to stop it right there and have a song here in just a moment, but let's go ahead and have a word of prayer first. Thank you so much, Lord, for this church and for all that you do for us. I just pray that you'd bless our afternoon, Lord, and bring us again safely tonight. And furthermore, Lord, I just pray that you'd help each and every one of us with clarity in the visions that we need for our life, Lord, and to understand that that vision is going to come from you and that we need to walk by faith, not by physical sight. We thank you, Lord, for all that you do for us. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. All right, so let's go ahead and get the hymnals out. We're going to have one more song and then we'll be dismissed.